Hello, friends. Welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I'm so happy to tell you that we got a hold of Simon, and he's on the air now, and we'll bring him on in just a few minutes. I wanted to tell everyone that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your guides and angels, please just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I wanted to tell you that tomorrow on November 3rd, and again on November 4th, I'll be giving readings at the wonderful Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center in Tacoma, Washington. The center is just off 38th next to the Tacoma Mall. And it's a wonderful place, and I hope you can stop by. I started this program 5 years ago with the intent of raising consciousness and making this world a much better and happier place, and it's been entirely supported through donations. And the amount of support has been just truly wonderful, and I want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support and help. We now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I couldn't have done this without your help. And finally, one last thing quick. Michiko Hayashi will be giving presentations in her hot oil treatment therapies on November 10th, 2019, as part of my Galactic Wisdom Fair. I will also be there giving readings, and there will be other wonderful people and crystal sellers and psychics. So if you can come down, the event's free. And for more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Well, lastly, last week I was in Iceland where I interviewed the key person who helped Iceland get rid of their corrupt bankers and put them in jail in 2008. Unfortunately, here in the United States, we rewarded the bankers for helping to destroy the United States economy by giving them trillions of dollars, but in Iceland, they put them in jail. This interview will be played about a week from today and about what lessons we can learn here in the United States, Canada, and other countries to take our economy and country back. One of the most important things I've learned since doing my radio show for the past 5 years is that we are all powerful spiritual beings created, destined to create a much better and happier planet. And with that, I can't think of a better person to have on to raise consciousness than my good friend Simon Parks, coming to us now live from England. Simon, hi, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. Hi. Lovely to speak to you and, of course, to the wonderful audience. I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, good. Well, for those of you who don't know Simon, he's a fascinating gentleman whose parents were both worked for both the American and the United Kingdom Secret Service, and he's had a lifelong contact of extraterrestrial contact, and he lends a very unique perspective on world events. I have a lot of questions from my listeners, and I wanted to tell people too, as you're listening today, if you have any questions for Simon, the easiest thing to do is just to send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I switched things around during the hour. We couldn't get normally Simon's on my first hour, but because of a confusion regarding the time, he's now on for the second hour. So there may be some people calling in to wish me happy birthday and a congratulations on my show. And if that happens, Eric, just give me a sign. We can have them on for a split second. But Simon, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted. Of course, we've moved to and we've left British summertime, and here in Great Britain, we're on what we call GMT, which is the traditional Greenwich Mean Time. So, of course, we've changed our time zone here, and of course, that would throw everybody out.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. We're easily able to handle it. I just realized this morning, it's funny, you know, I said, oh, no, Simon's going to think that we'll be calling him at 10 o'clock his time, and we're actually calling him at 9, so... Oh, well, I think we catch up next week or something like that. Or I don't remember now.
Yes, it's not too far. Anyway, just quickly, the only point I wanted to bring out of interest is the large, what scientists call a solar flare.
Okay.
That was one of the largest eruptions we had a couple of days ago. And the particles from that are due to strike the Earth either tomorrow, which is the 3rd my time, or some places the 4th. So there have been a number of psychics on the planet who are reporting that they think there might be some issues coming from that. Certainly the mainstream scientists in Britain anyway, are saying that some of the satellites could be knocked out and some of the communication systems on Earth could be knocked out. Now, that's coming from mainstream scientists. Mm-hmm. I've had some psychics say to me that they're a bit concerned that there might be a false flag tagged onto this. In other words, there might be some attempt to use this natural phenomenon and to blame it on something else, like an earthquake or something. So I've had a few people contact me saying that they've had premonitions of some form of earthquake at around the same time. I can't comment on that because I haven't had any information on that at all. But what I can say here in Great Britain, over the last 3, 4, possibly 5 years, the utility companies have been going crazy and double earthing just about every electric pole or telephone pole that they get their hands on. And even in some of the most ruralist parts of Great Britain, where you perhaps just see a man and a sheep once a year, they've double earthed them. And I did get the chance to talk to someone who was in the know about a year and a half back. Mm-hmm. And he said to me that they had been warned there would be increased emissions from the sun, and that they would all of the utility companies in Great Britain were told to try and make the infrastructure as safe as possible. So it looks like that the companies or the corporations have been alerted to this and have for some time been trying to protect it. So that's the only thing I wanted to say. Just keep your eyes open for that and see where we go with it.
That's an interesting comment. Thanks for so much for sharing that. And it actually helps with another question I had from Louise here in the Seattle area. She had mentioned that she had heard that the date of November 27th would be very significant. It had to do with some earth changes. Now that kind of makes clear that it may be a factor. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I hate to make any kind of predictions based upon dates, but she'd heard from several sources that the date of November 22nd might be significant. I'm sorry?
November 27th.
Right.
Not 7th,
22nd. November 22nd, sorry.
27th.
All right. The other thing, too, is that I watch, Simon, is what's called the Schumann resonance, which is the vibration of the planet. For tens of thousands of years, the resonance was at 7.8 hertz, and then in September of 2016, it doubled to almost 13.8 hertz. Since that time, it's gone, well, as recently as October 22nd, the Schumann resonance went up to, let me look at the graph here, 472 hertz, which is a tremendous run. It's gone down since that time just below 200. And and I was wondering that this solar flare may have another effect on it as well.
I'm sure it will. I've always maintained that the sun is playing a pivotal role in the evolution of not just our planet, but the planets that make up our group. The other thing to talk about is there's been some confusion, and people talk about pole shifts.
Sure.
And it's very confusing because a number of people who've been commentating perhaps haven't quite understood what's going on here. They talk about pole shifts and the North Pole will go to the South and South to the North. And they right. seem to be thinking about a geographical move, like the Earth tilting on its axis mm-hmm. or continents shifting. I can absolutely tell you that that's not going to happen, because if that actually happened, it would be the end of life on Earth.
Right.
What we could very well have in our lifetimes, Ted, is a magnetic shift of the poles. So if you have a magnetic compass, what is north now would show as south maybe in 25 years time.
Okay.
Vice versa. Mm-hmm. Now the last time this happened was about 700,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that because when a volcano erupts, it erupts a very mildly radioactive dust. And they've been able to check that just 700,000 years ago, what is our north was south, mm-hmm. and what was south was north. So we are expecting that in possibly our lifetimes. So that's not, if that gets talked up as I expect, because scientists are, I think, are just on the verge of talking that up again.
Sure.
It's not the Earth turning on its, shifting on its axis. It's not continents moving. It's just a magnetic reversal. What it will disturb are birds, bats and bees, anything that requires a magnetic compass for itself. But in terms of life on Earth, it won't be the end of Earth. So I just wanted to make that clear as well.
You know, I have to ask you this, Simon. I was flying from London to Frankfurt a couple of weeks ago, and in the skies above Britain, there was low clouds around England, so you couldn't really see up. But on the aircraft, you could clearly see all these chemtrails everywhere. Do you think this might be an attempt in a benevolent way to try to stop any kind of pole shift or magnetic shift? Most of the time with the chemtrails, I view them as unnatural and harmful to health. But I don't know. I just don't know. There's no word to really turn for answers.
I don't see them as positive because I think that if it was something that was positive, I would have hoped that they would have been shared with us. If you've got a very good reason for doing something, then you would share it publicly. Right. I totally agree with you, and we have touched on this before, and it's a good subject to touch on again, that both the United States of America, Great Britain, and increasingly other countries are now being hammered with chemtrails in a way that we've not seen maybe for many years.
Right.
That's simply because, I know the game of crap where you throw dice, the dice are nearly stopped rolling.
Right.
So if you can imagine your game of crap where you've thrown the dice, it hits the board, it's about to stop, and it's got a couple of more rolls of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is being piled on. That's why certain countries I've never seen so many chemtrails. And you're right, I've lived here all my life, and I've never seen so many.
Sure, right. I know I used to live in Eastern Washington years ago, and there the chemtrail planes would come with literally within 70, 80 yards of ground, and people were getting sick. The amount of aluminum particles in the air was like 10,000 times what they should have been. People were having stillbirths. They were losing children from the excessive amounts of barium and strontium and titanium and sulfur being sprayed into the air. And I know that none of those chemtrails seemed to be doing anybody any good. And the media wouldn't report on it because they were controlled. Nothing. It was only through alternative media sources. That's one of the reasons why I started my show, so that this information could get out.
Right. There's one other thing that most people assume, that the spraying is coming out through the engine. Somehow this material is being sprayed out with the engines. The truth is that there are some materials that would be killed or destroyed in the hot gases that come out of the engine. And, there are reports of a pod that sits on the back of a passenger airplane towards the tail end. Presumably it has to be aerodynamic, otherwise it would make the airplane unairworthy. But I've had enough witness accounts now which say that this pod actually releases something as well. So that presumably is something that would be heat sensitive. So there's an awful lot of spraying going on and different types.
I have to tell you, too, I heard this from William Tompkins about a year and a half ago before he passed on, Simon. He wrote a book called Selected by Extraterrestrials, and he was with the Secret Space Program for many years. He said something very interesting to me off the air. He said that many of the planes actually were not human planes. They were actually reptilian or Draco planes, which had shape-shifted into looking like U.S. military planes, and they were the ones spraying a lot of these chemtrails. The second thing he said was that the reptilians were terraforming planet Earth to make it more friendly to their species and less friendly to ours, because many reptilians our atmosphere is too oxygen rich. So what they were spraying was aluminum, barium, and strontium and sulfur, in an attempt to make our Earth atmosphere more like their home planet of Draco, which has an average Fahrenheit temperature 140 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the reason for the sulfur. And the other things they were spraying were to make it more like the home planet of Draco.
I certainly think that part of the global warming is exactly the chemtrail spraying.
Sure.
Part of it, simply that the chemtrails actually retain and control the sun's energy to a certain extent, and that superheats the planet. I know, as a small boy, I have no idea of my age. It's so difficult, probably between the ages of 6 and 8, meeting a white reptilian under the earth, but having to go into a chamber to be adjusted to the temperature. In other words, the artificial environment they live in is incredibly hot compared to what a Western European person would consider.
Sure.
And I remember having to go into this sort of like a tank to have something done so that I could then go into this environment with them and not be overcome by the heat. Wow. So it's got a long way to go yet. I mean, let's put it this way. You're more likely to see a reptilian in New York City or New York State than you are in the Sahara Desert. So it's not just about the temperature.
Sure.
There are other factors to it. But yes, I've had other current American intelligence people confirm to me that not just airplanes, and this is where we get really into the wacky world, where things like motor cars and trucks and rigs actually are not what they appear. There's something else. And if we accept that somebody has that level of technology, then no wonder our governments are cautious and scared and frightened, because no matter how clever the U.S. government is, it doesn't have technology at that level yet.
That's true. Absolutely. But one of the things that the Pleiadians told me about 30 years ago, when I first got interested in 30, 40 years ago, Simon, they said if we all work together, we can beat any negative entity or any negative force. But that's one of our soul lessons, spirit lessons, is to work together as a plan for humanity, because we all have the spark of the supreme being in us, regardless of our race, creed, or color. And if people realize that, the more people realize that, the better off we'll all be here on the planet.
I agree. And I've said on countless talk shows or conferences that the human race, in relation to many of these other peoples, we may be technologically, not technologically stupid, but we may be technologically backward. But spiritually, actually, we either do outstrip most of these other groups, or we have the potential to outstrip them. So, yes, technologically, we may not be at their level, but we have this potential connecting to divine source, which many of these other groups have lost. Which does give us this opportunity, if only we'll just take it.
Right, exactly. Along those lines, here's an interesting website that was sent to me just yesterday. The website is https://patriots4truth.org. And they've dedicated this month, November 2018, as Shoot Down Chemtrail Planes Awareness Month, advocating U.S. military action only, because I know there's good people in the U.S. military, of course, and they're asking them for the good people in our military to shoot down the chemtrail planes, which is interesting.
Well,
I don't know.
Ted, we can't do that because, of course, these planes contain passengers, innocent people.
Sure, of course.
So I think that's it may be a joke, but actually that's something that they really shouldn't be doing, because these aren't empty airplanes. These are chartered craft with real people in. What they'd be better off doing is saying to the military to take out the people who are organizing all of this.
That's better. Yeah, I agree. This leads me to a series of questions from Ulrich in Germany. He sent me many questions for you today, Simon, and one of them was regarding the 5G network. Now, there's another gentleman named Bradley in London who also sent me a YouTube video on the 5G system, on its hazards. What was interesting when he sent it to me, Simon, he could watch it there in London. He sent it to me here across the pond. I tried to open it up, and it was disabled on YouTube. I couldn't open it up at all. So I wrote him back, and he said, oh, don't worry, we've still got it here. I'll download it and send it to you. So I'm still waiting for it now. But the 5G system... what's your perspective on the 5G system?
Well, let me just quickly backtrack a little bit, because that's worth saying. When I work with some of my clients who need deprogramming, I use some regular videos. But regular videos created by people who have a story to tell, people who've been in a and perhaps an MK Ultra environment, mm-hmm. broke free, and then did a song or what have you, and you know, put their life history into it. And I use those for my part of my deprogramming. Mm-hmm. Now, under the time of President Obama, there's one particular video that I use, and nearly in half of the states of America during President Obama's time in office, this video was banned. Although the guy who is the lead singer is still has a band in Europe, and is mainstream on YouTube. So in Great Britain, European countries, you could just go on YouTube and you could get these important videos. But half of the states in America banned them. Now, within 3 months of President Trump becoming the president, this video is obtainable in any American state. Now, what does that tell you? So that's the first thing there. The second thing is, I never, there's a particular video I use, and I never had the privilege of talking to the lead singer, mm-hmm. but it, obviously in fairly high up circles, elite circles, it got out that I was using this video because this star's manager Skyped me, mm-hmm. and then within 2 weeks of that, his lead drummer Skyped me. And that's just not coincidence. And they just sort of basically gave me the nod and said, yeah, go on, you know, use it for good purposes. That's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the 5G. My cat is calling. Hello, darling.
That's okay. Good, take care of your cat. That's important.
Yes, okay. The 5G is an issue simply because it's not been... Yes, darling. Yes, I know.
Obviously, your kitty cat has something important to say. Kitty, would you like to come on the program? We've got time. It's no problem.
The 5G is an issue because I don't care what any professional doctor or radiologist or anybody else says to me.
Sure.
I don't believe it's been fully tested on humans. I don't think holding a rat up by its tail and frying it for 20 minutes and saying, oh, look, the animal's still alive, that wouldn't satisfy me.
Right.
There are too many whistleblowers now who have worked or work in the industry who are now coming forward and saying, look, there are some serious issues here. The problem that we have is that mobile phone masts, cell phone masts or satellites aren't an issue for the general public. They're so used to seeing a cell tower that it's no big deal anymore.
Right.
You know, if you talk about fracking, well, heck, that could knock the house price. Your house price could come tumbling down, or it could obviously turn the water red or brown. And so mm-hmm. that's very easy to campaign around. But an innocuous cell mast somewhere or a satellite in space that you can't see, it's very hard. And if you say to somebody, hey, look, you know what? At the moment with 4G, you can download this file in 5 seconds.
Right.
But with 5G... you'll download it in 1 second.
Right.
Now, I'm old-fashioned, and I don't care whether it takes me 5 seconds or 15 seconds to download something. I'm just really great. I've got it.
Yeah.
But there are lots of people who want 1 second shaved off the download time.
Sure, right.
And that's
right.
What they're playing to. They're playing to people who want toys.
Sure. Well, one thing, you said something interesting, too, a couple of shows ago, Simon. You said that if they are able to get this 5G network in, the current phones who use the older systems won't be functional, so everybody will have to buy new phones. And here,
right.
Voila, is a new market for them.
Absolutely. Ted, yeah. We should be stock and bond holders because it means at a stroke, you're saying to people, if you want this, you can't just get an upgrade.
Right.
You've got to get a new phone. So, hey, isn't that a brilliant way to sell new products?
Absolutely. 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 Well, I always enjoy your take on it. The other thing, too, that I'd heard some time ago was that the 5G system itself will blanket the planet in this new EMF wave, electromagnetic wave, of dirty electricity that will allow some negative entities to come in through, too. I don't know anything about that, but I wanted to run that by you. That's something else I heard.
That, to me, is the whole reason for it.
Sure.
The side issue is corporations making trillions of dollars when they wouldn't have otherwise done it. And that's you always see these things go hand in hand. And often the making of large amounts of bucks is the excuse or the reason that gets cell phone companies to put masts up. Or, you know, what's not widely known is that it's not just cell masts. There'll be satellites doing this. And there's a Russian billionaire who has a space program, and he's been renting out his own rockets for these satellites to be launched, and they've been doing that for some time. That's not widely known. Nothing to do with the Russian government, is a private venture. The difficulty that we have, as far as I'm concerned, is that 5G isn't just one up on 4G. It's a whole new ball game. It allows fourth dimensional entities to survive or partially survive in an artificial environment. So as far as I'm concerned, the electrostatic or electromagnetic, however, I'm not the scientist, but the field that is generated by this 5G will allow something that is not of this earth to survive temporarily. And I do believe that one of the options, this plan of artificial intelligence is to try to infect humanity. It hasn't worked up to now because we're divine creatures. And I don't believe it will work in the future. But nevertheless, it is my job to warn people. Even though I don't think humanity is going to die, I do think it's my job to warn people that there is an attempt by a negative force to try and trick us. And that's the life on this planet, isn't it? We get tricked and we either see it and respond, or if we don't, but we still learn from it and we go forward. So I'm not doom and gloom about it, but I certainly am warning people that 5G is not the advantage for 5G is terribly outweighed by the negativity that I believe is going to come with it.
I want to thank you so much for that profound comment, Simon, because I know a lot of people wanted to hear your opinion and also get kind of a background. From my own background as a psychic, there's 12 different dimensions, with the 12th dimension being the home of the supreme being, or God, if you will, who created all of this. The third dimension is where we exist, this planet and humanity, choosing the higher, the right path, will ascend into the fifth dimension. The fourth dimension is sort of an interesting area. It's the fourth dimension of time, but there's also part of the fourth dimension. There's a lower plane of the fourth dimension, which is a home, a haven, if you will, for negative entities, and for them, and for what you said about negative entities living in the lower part of the fourth dimension, that this 5G network provides, if you will, a home for them on this planet, and a natural home, because they wouldn't exist otherwise, makes sense.
Spot on, Ted, as always. The fact of the matter is, you're quite right. Mm-hmm. We refer to the lower fourth. Now, these entities, whatever we may think of them, they are very, very clever, and they have mapped the future, their own future, and they can see they're on a dead-end street.
Sure.
So if you're in a dead-end street, what do? You need a lifeboat. Mm-hmm. So their team have got together over thousands of years. They've waited for humanity to reach a level of technological advancement where they can then intervene. And that's what Roswell was all about. We reached a level industrialized, but what we didn't have in 1947 was microcircuitry, computer chips, microtechnology. So what happened in 47 was we were given microtechnology, which we could then marry to the industrialization that we already had.
Sure.
So from that moment onwards, we went into a digital age. Now, if you are a negative entity and you're in the fourth dimension, what do? You think, I'm trapped. I'm going to be sealed in a box, within a box.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get out. What we'll do is we'll try and jump across into the third. If we can survive in the third, when these humans move up to the fifth, maybe they'll take us with them.
I see.
That is the plan.
Interesting.
It's hanging on to our shirt tails. That is exactly what their plan is.
And for the corporate executives of companies like T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, here, cell companies here in the United States, they're looking as a carrot, as the dessert for them, as an incentive, is all the money they would make from them. They don't probably care too much about the rest of it, but as long as they're making money, they're happy.
They probably don't even know about it, Ted. Mm. They probably don't even know. I would say that 99% of the employees on these companies haven't got a clue. Mm-hmm. It's only the ones in the scientific level that have a knowledge of science and are saying this high frequency isn't very good.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Would 5G affect children more than adults?
It will do, depending on the age. I would imagine if your cells in your body are growing quicker,
right,
and you are more responsive, then yes, the effect could be greater.
Okay.
That's why we see in radiation cases, it's the unborn child that often shows the deformities because they're growing at a much faster rate than an adult.
Sure, sure. Well, before we leave this subject, you touched on the lower part of the fourth dimension as a haven for negative entities.
Yep.
And from my own experience as a psychic, I've had people approach me in the past and said, "Ted, you really need to use drugs if you really want to get to be spiritual." And I said, "Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not going to smoke pot or take any drugs to gain spiritual advancement." But then on the other hand, the push, I mean, hemp and marijuana, for example, some of it has very good uses. CBD oil, I've heard, has a lot of good health benefits. But you don't smoke it to gain spiritual advancement. And what happens when people smoke marijuana, it leads them often into the lower parts of the fourth dimension where they run into negative entities and they don't even realize it. So anyway,
right. I'd say it was psychedelic drugs that take a person into the fourth dimension. When a shaman uses something to send him or her on a journey, I don't actually believe they're looking themselves for spiritual development necessarily, but they are on a quest for knowledge, which is perhaps slightly different from their own development. They're actually looking for understanding or to sort out a problem. So when a person uses a narcotic, they should be very clear with themselves whether that's to spiritually develop or whether it's to sort out an issue or a problem or to see over the hill, to see what's going on in the future.
Sure.
My own advice to people is that psychedelic drugs take the human spirit into another realm. And if you go knocking on someone else's door, then you've got to be prepared for who opens that door. It's harder for these negative entities to come into our world. This is our world.
Right.
So the energies are based here for us. If you take yourself off and you go into another realm, well, you're in their home turf and you have to deal with what you get. So I have a real problem with psychedelic drugs.
I've had the same conversation with other psychics of mine, and I'll probably be bringing him on my show here soon. But thank you so much for that wisdom, Simon. I've had a couple.
Any more questions, Ted?
I do. I do. Here's one. Julie from North Carolina. She writes, just came in. What does Simon think about the migrant caravan? Alternative news have shown that migrants are being bused deep in the United States and Texans are forming citizen militias. Could this be an extension of the riots that George Soros has tried to get started amongst Americans but never pulled off such violence?
Well, we can look at precedent here. Two and a half years, 3 years ago in Great Britain, there was a huge caravan of migrant workers. We didn't call them that. We call them immigrants or refugees in Great Britain. The term now is migrant workers because that sounds more appealing. Hello, cat.
Your kitty cat has something important to say.
Oh, yeah. he's the new kitten and he just loves to talk.
Okay, wonderful.
So what we have is a situation where large numbers of people are paid or are sold a vision, and they just form numbers and they go. Now, let's look at United States of America. People in the early days came from all over the world, lots of Irish people,
right,
but they came mostly individually. So individual men, women, families said, "I'm going to make my future. I'm going to go to America. I'm going to do it." And they would turn up with very little, nothing. But that's because they all made a vision to go themselves. What's happening is that large villages, numbers of people are being rounded up, put into a truck and told, "Hey, we can bus you over the border and it's all going to be fantastic." So there's an external hand here. And they did it in Europe. They tried to move. Look, they moved a million people into Germany.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? A million migrant workers into one country. And remember, Germany is not the size of America. Yeah. So, of course, any decent politician, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, should be saying, hold on a moment. If these people come across the border, what sort of jobs are they going to do?
Right.
Are they going to be able to afford health care? What's the crime going to be like? What is the schooling? How can we provide schools for these kids?
Right.
And if they don't get a job, are they going to turn to crime? Now, that's not being racist. That's actually saying that a country raises tax. It uses its tax, hopefully, to provide for the citizenry. If you bring in hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of people who don't work, who don't pay tax,
right,
and you have to provide in some basic sense for welfare for them, that no wonder people are kicking off. And of course, President Trump,
sure,
doesn't want lots of children coming across the border with no parents and then child trafficking gangs turning up, claiming these kids, right, and then shipping them off. So, no, I think President Trump's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in a wall. I really don't believe in a wall. But what I do believe is that countries should not participate in pushing their problems across the border. Right. And I know privately that President Trump had a very strong conversation. I think it's with the president of Mexico. There's a president of Mexico, isn't there?
President of Mexico. Mm-hmm. President,
right,
Mexico.
He had a private conversation with him, and he basically threatened that the National Guard in the border area would be mobilized and moved down. And immediately what the Mexican government did was say they would offer employment visas to many of the migrant workers for jobs in Mexico, because what the president of Mexico did not want was a military confrontation with the US. And Trump said, if you don't do something, I will have 1,000 National Guard and they will shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said privately.
Wow.
That's why Mexico is now issuing work visas and work permits to try to stop these people coming into the US. But I bet you that's not in your news in America.
No, it's not. We get traffic reports, sports, which is okay. Nothing against sports. We get sports, traffic reports, weather, and the cartoon channel. That's about it. Sorry, not much else. Not much else, my friend. And you know, it's funny, as you were speaking, Simon, the beautiful angelic light came into the studio and with lots of sunshine, and it's a beautiful day here in Seattle. I can just feel the good energy coming in. As you know, we talked about this earlier. I talked about the 5G YouTube video, which my friend Bradley in London can watch. I can't because I'm on the wrong side of the pond. Here's another example. Another gentleman's wrote me from Germany a couple days ago. He said that this is a YouTube video on the real reasons behind Hurricane Michael hitting the East Coast. I can't watch it. It's disabled. He can, though, so I've asked him as well to please send it to me. So I hope it gets to the censors and makes it across the pond.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ted.
That's okay.
I very rarely interrupt you, but I just have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, America is the land of the free.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Because you're not. You're not free. This is the joke.
Oh, America, okay. Yeah, I got it. Took me a while. Sorry.
But you're not free.
The media is well, that's why I started my show, to get the news out there, and get the information out there. Did I ever tell you, in 1979 I lived in London for the summer and I was going to school there, and I picked up a Times newspaper on like the flight just before flying from London back to Seattle. And I picked up the paper and I read it on the plane. It was all about how AIDS was created in a U.S. government laboratory, and that was responsible for all these deaths. Well, I get to the States, and nothing in our media is about that. Nothing. It's all silence. But it was fairly common in Britain. That story was front page news in the
Yes,
Times.
And it ran from 1979/1980 up to 1983, and it was very commonly held at that time that it was a warfare virus created in the US to wipe out either gay people or black people, and it was introduced into the monkeys in Africa and other areas.
Right.
And the whole plan was to wipe out the black population, and if it took a lot of gay men with it, then they were happy about that.
Yeah.
So we knew in Britain, late 70s, early 80s, that we accepted that as an American warfare drug.
Wow.
And then, of course, it clamped down, and then by about 1985, it was no longer being discussed.
Oh, wow. Well, Simon, would you mind holding on just for a second? This is someone who I'd schedule over the... I said
sure,
she's welcome to call in, wish me happy birthday
no
for my show.
No worries at all.
Yeah, just hold on. We'll bring her on quickly, and then we'll come right back to you. So anyway, go ahead and put Laurie on. Laurie?
Hey, Ted. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. This is...
Happy birthday,
Ted! Thank you, Laurie. You're so sweet. Well,
now, if I really thought I had a nice voice, I mean a singing voice, I would sing you happy birthday.
Well, that's kind of you.
How is your day going?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. We had to switch things around because I was going to have Simon, my friend Simon from Simon Parks from England on the first hour, but
yes,
there was a time change. And anyway, so I'm having him on now. So, but I'm glad
Hello,
you.
Hello, Simon Parks. Lori Spanya calling.
Hello there. Lovely to hear you.
About AIDS virus being developed in a government laboratory. And you want to know something really interesting? About 10 years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and I was in the dog park walking my dog at like 11 o'clock at night, and or maybe not that late, but there was someone in there, and somehow it just came out of my mouth. I don't even know how it came out. And it just came, I never knew it intellectually, but we were talking about viruses and diseases, and it just came out of my mouth that AIDS and other viruses, almost all of our viruses, were created by the government in a lab up in the north of, like, Plum Island, Nantucket, which is, by the way, where I am right now. I'm in Amagansett, the Hamptons. And when that came out of my mouth, I was like, where did that come from? Like, this was 10 years ago. I had no idea. It wasn't anything I learned. It was just channeled through me. It just came out of my mouth.
Wow.
And so when I hear him say that, I know it is true. I know it is true, but it's not anything I read anywhere. But I know he's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, fascinating subject.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. And, Laura, do you have any questions for Simon since you're on the air?
Oh, my God, Simon! Well, I wasn't prepared to ask questions, and I didn't really hear anything else other than that, but well, I want to hear everything Simon has to say.
What does Simon say?
Now, listen, he also takes pet questions, too, because he has a lot of cats there, and he's very fond of cats,
right?
And dogs. So if you have a question from your cat or dog, you can maybe answer it today.
Simon, are you a pet psychic too?
I didn't quite hear that. What did you say?
She asked you if you're a pet psychic, whether you answer questions from pets.
Only with cats, not with dogs, I'm afraid.
Only with cats, not with dogs. Why is that?
Because I consider dogs to be fifth dimensional, and I consider cats to be fourth dimensional.
That's an interesting perspective.
Hmm. That's because of the connection with ancient Egypt. Cats have a very strong connection with ancient Egypt, the Great Pyramid. The last pharaoh, of course, was Queen Cleopatra, and she used to keep a black panther as well as domestic cats. So the cat, through that culture, has always represented alien intervention, although by the time of the last pharaohs, they'd forgotten the history. They just knew that cat was sacred. So cats have a strong connection to the fourth dimension. That's why a cat makes a fantastic guard animal. If you have some negative force that comes in from the fourth dimension into your home, a cat will pick that up. Mm-hmm. A dog very rarely will. A dog will pick up something coming in from the higher realms, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, but a cat will always spot something from the sixth dimension. Very, very briefly, I had a cat that lost its leg in a fight with something. Something came in, this is about a year and a half ago, into not this house, another house. I didn't even see it. It was obviously a demonic entity, and the cat attacked it. And in the end, we had to have the cat's leg amputated because this is a cat that was indoors, not an outdoor cat, and it had its leg broken and shattered. But I believe that it attacked this entity and fought it. So, yeah, cats are more fourth dimensional than dogs.
Wow, yeah. Amazing, amazing.
Interesting perspective.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, did you try clearing the entities, though?
Pardon, I didn't
hear
you.
Was it not an option to clear the entity and the or the demonic and get it to go?
Or Ted, can you just repeat? Because I'm not getting it so good here this side.
Oh, sure. Lori, you were saying about... could you repeat it?
I said, was it not an option to...
Oh, I know what you're saying. Sure.
...clear the demonic before the leg had to be amputated? That might have been my first thing to think. You could clear the demonic, but if the leg was already wounded, I don't know the series of events. But
Simon, she was wondering whether it would have been possible to clear the area of the demonic influence before the cat's leg was amputated.
Well, what happened was that the entity must have entered the house. The cat saw it, attacked it, and the attack by the cat drove the entity away. But the repulsion of force was so great that I think it slammed the cat against the wall, and that's where it got its leg shattered. So the entity had gone, and so what we had to do was have a veterinary surgeon just amputate the leg.
Mm, I see. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, too bad. All right, well, thank you for sharing that. And, it sounds like you guys are having quite a conversation.
A wonderful time, and I thank you so much for calling in, Lori, and wish me happy birthday and for my show. I really appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Ted, and so nice to connect with Simon. And I'll be listening in, and I just wish you guys the highest and best.
Okay.
The highest and best.
All right,
Lori. Lots of love.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Simon, we also have someone else special in the studio, a wonderful lady named Martha, Martha Chowdhury. She has a radio show here, too, in Seattle. And Martha, you have a question for Simon?
Oh, it's great to hear you, Simon. Thanks for joining in, even at the odd hour for all of us. We'll catch up next week.
Fine. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to thank Ted for all of his work and wish him a very happy 5th anniversary. And it made me realize it's 5 years for me, too.
Oh,
we both joined the station the same year.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
Congratulations.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Coincidence, Simon?
Yeah, I don't
know. No, never.
And I know Leon wanted to chime in if we had him or not.
Yeah, but,
But we wanted to thank him for all the work with the Hopi, because that is really, talk about moving some great energy. And with the music and dance and everyone coming together for these fundraisings, it reminded me of in the 60s. Remember the happenings, Simon?
They were about.
Yeah, it was all about people getting together with dance and artwork and everything.
I talked about that earlier.
Yeah, creating
the first
for
hour.
A cause.
Yeah, I talked about that. Just real briefly, we had for decades, maybe hundreds of years, the Hopi Indians in Arizona, Simon, have been drinking arsenic-flavored water, which, of course, is carcinogenic.
And so
Leon McLaughlin, Martha, myself, and Michiko Hayashi here in the studio with us today, we all put out a private fundraiser to raise money to buy water filters so that the Indians could drink clean water. It sounds like a simple thing, but the U.S. government has refused to help provide any help, so we're doing it privately, and the money has been coming in. And real brief, I just want to talk to Leon real brief, and then I want to go back to Simon. Leon, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ted.
Leon has a private water foundation, a clean water foundation, that's been providing these water filters to the Hopi Indians. And I just want to thank you so much, Leon, for all your wonderful help with that. That's great.
Yeah, we're doing some unbelievable things, and we've developed water units to get the arsenic out of the water. And we're in schools there, the clinics, and we're putting them in homes. And by the way, happy anniversary, Ted.
Well, thank you, Leon. You're so sweet. You're so sweet. Thank you so much. Well, it's been this has been a definitely labor of love for me. I've worked on it now for 5 years, and I'm so happy that I have so many beautiful supporters around the world to help me in it. So, and one of the people who helps me raise consciousness on this program, of course, is Simon Parks. He's on the line now. Leon, do you have any questions for Simon?
No, I don't. We're happy to be on this mission to bring clean, fresh drinking water to children around the world and also to the Hopi tribe. And we'll be down there next year doing our ceremonies with the Hopi tribe and the inauguration celebration of clean, fresh drinking water to the Hopi tribe and the whole reservation.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And Simon, when we were talking to the Hopi, they said that part of the problems with the water was threatening what they called the umbilical cord to the entire planet. So to have this effort be with the Hopi and now is really pretty cool.
Yeah, well, what many people don't grasp is that the planet communicates with itself via water, and there's more water running under the planet than there is on the planet, and communication or information, as you well know, is encoded into water, and that's how the planet mm-hmm. actually talks to itself. And that's why there's been such an effort to frack and to kill whales, because whales actually play a part of this in the oceans. But that's another by the by. But I want to quickly just say this, because I think it's important. A good friend of mine, a brilliant friend of mine, an engineer by the name of Wynn Keach, a number of years ago, entered a competition. It was the United Nations or UNESCO who wanted to put out a bid for anybody who could find a cheap way to provide cheap, clean drinking water for people in Africa or part of Africa. Wonderful. And there was a large, well, no, don't get excited, Ted. Okay. There was a large pot of money. You could win this if you came up with the right invention and you could do it. Then not only would you be able to do that, but you would get this cash sum, because it was like a competition. Anyway, he put something forward, and I know the man, and he is a genius, and he put something forward which is pretty damn good. And what did they do? They pulled the competition. They pulled it. Because maybe they were looking at having to give out a certain amount of money. Now, what I'm going to say now may sound really quite horrible, but I believe there's some truth in this. If a person or a company or a corporation or a government, it's usually a government, sets up a topic, we're going to call it something, let's save the flower. Just going to call it that, Ted. Let's save the flower. Mm-hmm. And then I have a load of advertising saying the flower is in danger and we need you to give us money so we can save the flower. And chief executive gets an assistant chief executive, and they get a board of management, and then they get junior managers, and they get accountants, and then they get photocopying girls, and they get boys to do the messages, and they build an empire. Mm-hmm. And they raise millions of donations to save the flower. And then someone comes along and says, hey, I can save the flower. Do they want that flower saved? Because it's the end of their empire. It's the end of their work. The whole reason for being will all just go. So often, you know, when people turn up with an answer, they don't want to hear it because it would be the end of what they do. I know for a fact that there's a cure for cancer mm-hmm. on this planet. Sure. I know for a fact that there's plenty of cures. But if they find the cure officially, then there's no more fundraising. So this is, again, one of the huge issues on this planet. I mean, hey, Ted, we're nearly out of time, aren't we?
No, my friend, we've got about 3 minutes left. Go right ahead. There's always extra time for you, Simon.
Oh, bless you.
Well, I was going to ask you, in 25 words or less, what do you see things coming up on the horizon for the United States, the world, and the rest of the galaxy?
Yeah, next week.
Right, you've got midterm elections.
True.
I'm not going to say how you should vote, because that's politics and I don't want to go down that road. But I would say to you, vote for America, whatever is your version of America, whatever fits your version of America. Sure. Vote for America, because at the end of the day, America still has the greatest constitution. Mm-hmm. It really does. Here, people don't get this, but in Great Britain, we do not have a constitution. Mm. We don't have one. Mm-hmm. People make it up as they go along, and I'm not joking with you. We call it president. So, hey, this happened 50 years ago, so that must be right. You guys have got something written down so that technically you can't go against what's been written down. That's worth fighting for. Listen, you guys, fight for it, because you went through some bloody times. And I mean bloody as in losing blood. You went through bloody times, some of that fighting my country, some of it fighting others. But you fought hard to have something. Hang on to it. So whatever you vote for the preservation of your constitution.
And do vote. And vote your conviction, whatever that is.
Yep.
I urge everyone to vote, not just stand by and let others decide for you. And you should do that. I want to thank everyone so much again for helping make Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And Simon, I appreciate your work so much. You're raising consciousness around the world with your work as well. And thank you again so much for coming on the show today, Simon. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. I'm delighted to be on your show because it's so spiritual, and it goes in places that other radio shows are too frightened to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're also supported through private donations, and if you'd like to send a donation, please visit our website at www.outofthisworld1150. And with that, my friends, I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend, and thank you so much for making this planet a much better and happier place. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye. Bye.